What is a Church of Christ college? In an article in the Christian Chronicle, 2010, the writer talked about a non-institutional Church of Christ college, unquote. That's just one of many examples of that kind of terminology that you can find. Parents may want to send their children to college, but maybe they have a preference that it's a Church of Christ college, a Church of Christ school. Out of curiosity, when I was working on this lesson, I just went to the web and did a search for Church of Christ colleges or Church of Christ universities. And I found a website. The title of it was 14 of the Best Church of Christ Universities. What is that? Now you'll see on the slide we have New Testament question marks. And the reason we have that on the slide is because I cannot read about a Church of Christ college, so-called, in the New Testament. And we cannot read about a Church of Christ college as is meant in these kinds of articles in the New Testament. We will see that there is a college that has to do with churches of Christ as we continue our study, however. So, look at 1 Corinthians 1:2, or you may have it in your heart, not have to turn to that passage. To the church of God which is at Corinth. Those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Here is a church. It's not called a Church of Christ. That's what it is. Sometimes they were called a Church of God. It's not the name of the church. It's describing the kind of group that it is. It was a church or a group that had to do with God. That's why it existed. And as you continue to read there in verse 6, you'll see it's people who were called in the fellowship of Christ. And sometimes they were called churches of Christ, as Paul did in Romans 16 and verse 16. Now you'll see on the slide we put local. It's to the church of God at Corinth. It's the people in that group who gathered in Corinth to worship and work together. Now, when you read that phrase, Church of Christ College, in articles like I referenced or on the web, they are not talking about a local Church of Christ. That's not what they're talking about. And we'll see more about what is meant in just a little bit. But let me stop at this point and simply point out the fact that there is a sense in which a local church is a college. If you look up the definition of the word college, here's one from the Oxford Dictionary. An educational institution or establishment. Let's pray to God that the local church is an educational institution or establishment. That's what a local church is designed by God to be. If we look at the church, the local church from that standpoint, you know, people ask me, where did you go to college? Because I preach. Sometimes I'll tell them I haven't been to any college. I need to probably change that answer and say, I've been to many colleges. What? As a young man growing up, my beloved wife, our dates were going to college after college after college. That is gospel meetings. And I really learned from that. And we were members of a college, a local church. And there I sat at the feet of teachers, local teachers and those who'd come in meetings, and I would learn from that, and I would take notes. But you know, one of the things people like about a college is its activities. What does that college have in activities for the people who go there? The colleges I went to had activities. They sang. And I would go to gospel meetings and the building would be full. And they would sing. And they would sing songs like we sang today, led by good leaders like Josh, that taught us the things that we know and need to know. They had the activity of prayer. People bowing their hearts and going to the Supreme Being in prayer for themselves, for their loved ones, for the church, for the glory of God. They had the activity of teaching people that everything you earn is not for your own pleasure, but you have the privilege of giving, of contributing to a work that is higher and greater than the material things of life, of contributing to the work of Jesus Christ. These colleges that I went to had special memorials on the first day of the week to the greatest event in history that ever took place. How indebted I am to what I learned from going to college. God's college. A local church. And if we look at the local church in this way, what does it tell you and me about what we're doing right now? It's my job, it's my opportunity, my golden opportunity to spend 30 or 40 minutes teaching. Every teacher, every preacher, whether in this auditorium, whether in the back class, it's not to fill time, it's to educate. It's to build up, it's to strengthen. And we ought to take our role seriously. It's God's plan to help people to be true to Christ, our Lord and our Savior. What if people went to college and never participated in the activities that that college provided for the bonding of the students? And what if people don't participate in the activities of this college? If they don't sing, if they don't pray, if they don't participate and be dedicated to it. And what kind of an education would you get if you went to college and you attended that college 20% of the time? Or 30% of the time? Maybe colleges today have something that they didn't have when I went. Can you believe it? I went at a time there were no iPads and no iPhones. And no digital messages to record this professor's speech. But we have that kind of thing today. And even if you can't be at a particular college gathering because of work or illness, we have the advantage now that at least while you can't get all the benefit of the activities, the singing, the prayers, the contribution, the memorial, you can benefit from the recorded material. On the slides we put up before the assembly today, we ask the question, what does atonement mean? It's key to the gospel. It's vital to our salvation. Can we tell somebody what atonement means if they ask us? Well, we've presented a lesson on that in 2020, and there was another one previous, several years before that. Those are available to us if we're really interested in going to college and learning. But Church of Christ colleges, they're not talking about this. And unfortunately, God's college, the local church, in so many places has been turned into a civil organization or a social organization or a political organization to allow people to have fun, those kind of activities, and to better the community, or to change the government. That's not what God's college, the local church, is all about. Now, people can go to college, and many do, and flunk out. Some go to college, they go 4 years, and they get a degree. But they're poorly qualified. They may not even be able to pursue the field in which they got their education. But they got a piece of paper, they went to college. But there are some who go to college and they're dedicated. And they take the opportunities to learn and to grow. And when they come out, they're prepared. Same college. Same professors. Same activities. The difference is what people do with it. And that's true of the local church. In its efforts to teach and instruct and to build, it's up to us what we do with it. Well, Church of Christ College. Local church is not what's usually meant by that phrase. Here's another way the word church is used in the Bible. In Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus said, "On this rock I'll build my church." The word church here refers to all the saved, not a saved in a locality. Is this what is meant by Church of Christ College? Normally, no. Because then it would be a college that had universal oversight and a universal treasury. So if there is a Church of Christ College, meaning universal, comprising all people in churches of Christ, who leads it? Who's the president? Where is the treasury and who controls that? But usually that's not what is meant by Church of Christ College. Remember we said Scripture. Where is the Scripture that talks about that? This is not one. 1 Corinthians 1:2 is not one. Well, here's another way the word church is used. And depending on what version you read here, some have the word church in plural, some have it in singular. But it's talking about the church throughout an area or a district, Judea and Samaria. And so, are they talking about a Church of Christ College that is maybe statewide? But even if that's the case, who are the overseers of this Church of Christ College? And who decides how the funds are spent for this Church of Christ College? You'll search in vain to find anything about that in your New Testament. It's not found. And then the word church is used in a fourth way in my New Testament. It's when the people who comprise a church, like the one in Corinth, are assembled together. And you have that over in 1 Corinthians in chapter 14. And so here it's a church that does not always exist. Because when that church is not assembled, the church in that sense does not exist. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and look in verse 28. If there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. Well, he's a member of the local church when he goes home. Can he not say anything then? No, it's in the assembly. That's the idea. Look down in verse 33. God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches. That is, the assemblies of the saints. He's talking about how assemblies are to be conducted. And then in verse 35, he said, I've got 35, look at 34. Let the women keep silent in the churches. So you go home, you say, what's for lunch? She says, nothing. Why aren't you talking to me? The Bible says I'm to keep silent in the church, and I'm a member of the church. No, that's the assembly. And so, obviously, Church of Christ College is not talking about an assembled body. Then, in holidays, it wouldn't exist, if that's what it was. Well, what is this term, Church of Christ College? Well, we've searched in vain. I have. To find it in Scripture. But here's what's often meant. A college supported and overseen by a collective of churches of Christ. Not a church, like a local church in Corinth, but a body of churches that have banded together under a common oversight and with a common treasury. And who directs that? It may be some preachers, it may be some appointed board of directors, but there are funds that are given and they distribute those funds as needed to the professors and to the building maintenance and so forth. And they call that a Church of Christ college. Now, I know that when Paul met with the Church of Christ in Ephesus, Acts chapter 20, and talked to the elders of the Church of Christ in Ephesus, he told those men that they were to shepherd the Church of God among them, or among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The elders of the Church of Christ in Ephesus only had oversight of a local church. And if they oversaw any more than that, they did not do it by the authority of God. We call that local autonomy, or rule, self-rule. And when men who are elders take the oversight of funds and activities that are district-wide or state-wide or United States-wide, whatever it may be, they can call themselves elders, but they're not functioning as elders. They're functioning as a board of directors of some sort. You will not find that in Scripture. The intentions may be good, but elders' oversight is limited to the local church. Well, people may mean by Church of Christ College, a college that teaches Church of Christ doctrine. Now, what is that? Church of Christ doctrine. You know, when I open my Bible to Acts 2, I find the first Church of Christ. It was in Jerusalem. And what ruled or governed what that college taught? And they taught. It was an educational institution. I mean, they taught daily in the temple. And then their professors would sometimes go to houses and teach. That is the apostles. What they teach. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2:42. Not Church of Christ doctrine. In the apostles' doctrine. A Church of Christ, the Jerusalem church, was to be governed by the apostles' doctrine, not something called Church of Christ doctrine. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where we were reading a while ago in verse 33, when he was talking about how the assembly in the church at Corinth was to be conducted, that it was to be done orderly so all could be edified, he said, God is not a God of confusion but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And so this apostle, writing to a Church of Christ, said one speaker at a time, no women preachers. If there's a tongue speaker and there's not an interpreter, the tongue speaker is to keep silent. What right does this man get to tell a Church of Christ how its assembly is to be conducted? And the answer is in verse 37. Was it from you that the word of God went forth, or has it come to you only? If anyone thinks he's a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the thing which I write to you are the Lord's commandment. They may have had prophets, but the apostle said, what I'm writing is the Lord's commandment. That's what's to govern a Church of Christ, not some nebulous something we have dreamed up or concocted from history called Church of Christ doctrine. Again, I'm at a loss for Scripture to find out what Church of Christ doctrine is that a Church of Christ college is supposed to teach. Is a Church of Christ college a college that employs Church of Christ professors? Is that what that is? Well, let's see. What if one of those Church of Christ professors was Diotrephes, 3 John 9? He was a member of a church that may have been called a Church of Christ. Would that be the kind of professor that you would want to listen to if you went to a Church of Christ college? Would that put it a stamp of approval because he was a member of a Church of Christ and wanted indeed to be a teacher, evidently, a leader? What about Hymenaeus and Alexander, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19 and 20? Teaching the resurrection was passed. What about those guys? Were they Church of Christ professors? The fact that they were associated with Churches of Christ, would that qualify them to teach in a Church of Christ college? Some years ago, I was in a meeting in another town in Texas, and I began one of the lessons by simply saying, I'm not a Church of Christ preacher. I don't know what that is. Afterwards, an older gentleman came up and said, why did you say that? He was upset that I would say something like that. I guess what he wanted me to say is, I'm a Church of Christ preacher. So you can be assured you'll hear Church of Christ doctrine. God forbid. Now, that may be what's meant in Church of Christ colleges. And here's the danger. Parents wanting to guard their children say, I can't send them to this state school. They'll hear atheism. Which, well, they may. I'm going to send them to a Church of Christ college where they'll hear the truth. Good luck. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. It depends on the professor. He may be a Docrates. He may be a Hymenaeus or an Alexander. You don't know. You say, well, that could happen in a local church. Indeed, it can. Indeed, it can. I'm simply saying that. Calling it a Church of Christ college and calling it a Church of Christ professors does not guarantee the truth is being taught. But when people let their guard down, say, oh, well, they're going to a Church of Christ college, everything's going to be all right, their guard's down. No, that's not the case. The same as in a local church. I go to a Church of Christ, so it's okay. It may not be okay. You may hear error taught. So, Church of Christ doctrine. I do not know what that is, not interested in preaching it. Now, what I do find in the New Testament, here's what I can find. The word church is never used of a collective of churches. It is used of a collective of people. That's what I find. So in Matthew chapter 16, I should be 16 instead of 1, Matthew 16 and 18, on this rock I will build my church. The rock being the foundation truth that Peter confessed that he's the Son of God, verse 16. So you get over to Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Peter, who made that confession, preaches that very thing. He said all the house of Israel had to know for certain that God had made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So when they heard that, they said, what do we need to do? He told them, you need to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins in the name of Jesus Christ. They did that in verse 41, said 3,000 obeyed the gospel that day and were added to the number. Verse 47 says the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So you take those people who obeyed that gospel, they were added to this group called the church. From that day to this, the Lord has been adding to that group. Not churches, people. People who obey the Word of God. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, you have a group of people working and worshiping together. He calls it the local church, or he doesn't use the term local, Church of God at Corinth. There's the locality. But now know what he says. What comprises this church? Not churches, it's people. Listen. To those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. And whether you talk about the church in the district sense or the church in the assembled sense, it's always people who are collected. Collecting churches into some kind of body ruled by somebody with a treasury to do the work of the Church of Christ is just not something I can't find in Scripture. It's a collective of people. Now, you say, well, what is he? You go to the hospital. What are you religiously? Oh, I'm Church of Christ. Really? What is that? Somebody say, I'm a Baptist. Well, I'm a Church of Christ. Really? What is a Church of Christ? A church is a collective of people, more than one. It's not a doctrine. I'm Church of Christ. I believe Church of Christ. What is that? Now, in Acts chapter 11, and in verse 26 and 29, here is what people who were members of churches of Christ were called. In Acts chapter 11 and in verse 26, note he said, they came about for an entire year. They met with the church. That's the church in Antioch, a local church, and taught considerable numbers and the disciples. The members were called disciples, and then they were called Christians. At verse 26. Go down to verse 29. In proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren. So the early churches were comprised of people, sometimes called brethren, sometimes called disciples, sometimes called Christians. The word church never collects churches. Not in the New Testament, that is. So, in the New Testament, there is no collective of churches called the Church of Christ. There is no Church of Christ preachers in the New Testament. There is no separate collective. Now, God has a collective. We've talked about it. The local church. There is no separate collective for training Christians, training young people, training preachers in the understanding and practice of the will of God. That's what the local church is for. That's why the elders of this local church plan the classes like we had on authority, on marriage and divorce, on internal evidences to build our faith. You can learn things that will strengthen you. Some people think they don't need those classes. Maybe they think they're so educated already, they don't need to learn anymore. I don't know why people don't come to Bible classes. Why would a serious person in college not attend the classes where he could learn and prepare himself for whatever job he's going to do? Maybe if he's not planning on doing any work, he's not interested in going to college. Maybe that's the problem. I don't know. But that's what a local church is. A separate collective. Well, the local church isn't doing its job, so we're going to get together and build something to do that work. Where do we have the authority to do that? What if we're not protecting the memorial like you think it ought to be done? Could we build a separate group to partake of the memorial? Could we do that? We won't call it a church. We'll call it something else. We'll call it a Church of Christ memorial group or something. Could we? God has a plan. It's the local church. There's no Church of Christ college that I find in Scripture. Now, here's something very interesting. At least I found it very interesting. In the New Testament, there's no district assemblies like statewide where Christians from a big area came together for worship assemblies under the direction of whoever they would appoint. Obviously, if you say, we're going to have this district assembly, somebody's got to oversee the time and who's going to serve and whatever funds are going to be contributed to support it and provide a place to meet. But you don't read about that in the New Testament. Here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, you read about these early Christians assembling together regularly for the purpose of partaking of the Lord's Supper, for the purpose of prayer, for the purpose of teaching. And evidently, if the word fellowship here is used in its restricted sense of giving, for the purpose of supporting that work. But they met locally, there in Jerusalem. Then in Acts 11:26, you see that Barnabas and Saul met with the church in Antioch for a year. A local church, a church in a specific place. And they taught and they taught and they taught. You know what, folks? They did a good job in that college. Because when you get to Acts chapter 13, you'll find that there were prophets and teachers in the church at Antioch. And when you get to chapter 15 and verse 35, you'll find that there were several people teaching. Where'd they learn? What college did they go to? It's called the Church of Christ in Antioch. That's where they went. And then, in Acts chapter 15, here's an interesting thing. You have a church in Antioch sending Paul back to Jerusalem over this important question about whether Jews have to be circumcised and keep the law. And so, like Paul and Barnabas went back there, and they had a congregational meeting with the elders and leaders of the church in Jerusalem. And so, in verse 23, they sent this letter by them, the apostles and brethren who are elders, to the brethren in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Here's three other areas. Why didn't they plan a district-wide assembly between Jerusalem and Antioch and Syria and Cilicia? They could have planned it 6 months ahead to give people time to get there, meet in some central location. I don't know who would oversee it. But you don't find that, do you? Jerusalem met in Jerusalem. Antioch met in Antioch. As well as his other churches in other places. Then you have the church of Corinth. We just read about them, a meeting for assembly. Here are the churches of Galatia, Galatians 1 and 2. And when you read about the churches of Galatia, did all these churches ever meet together somewhere? Under a district-wide plan led by somebody? In Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, Titus was left on the island of Crete. He said that he was appointed elders in every city. So evidently there were different churches in different cities on the island of Crete. Why? It's just an island. And the island of Crete was, if my data is correct, about 140 to 160 miles east to west, about 35 to 40 miles at its widest point. Why did they meet together, get those churches together in a district-wide meeting? I'm not saying that a church in one city might have Paul in to preach and other churches come to visit. We do that today. I'm talking about a statewide, or in this case, island-wide meeting. You simply don't find it. But we're enamored with big, and we want to do things big. But you don't find that kind of thing in the New Testament. So, really, the question gets back, do we believe God's plan is sufficient? Wasn't that the problem in Samuel's day? They had judges, but the judges were corrupt. And so they said, we need a king, like the nations about us. God's plan wasn't working like God intended. That's true. But instead of fixing the plan according to God's will, get rid of those corrupt judges, get some good, honest, and godly men in there, they said, we want a different plan. We want a king. God warned them about the dangers of a king, but they wanted one. And he gave it to them in his anger, Hosea says. Are we willing to acknowledge that God's plan is sufficient to do the work that He wants to do? So how are we going to train preachers? How are we going to keep people strong in the Lord? How are we going to get people to know the truth about premillennialism? What are we going to do? What college will we send them to? I know one. There's a professor here that's going to be teaching on it later this year, and he's a pretty good one. And his name's Rocky Rodriguez. And if you want to learn about premillennialism, come to his classes. How are we going to teach people God has a plan? Should we not respect God's plan and be content with it? And so, here's God's plan. First of all, there's the church in the universal sense. We have the saints, and Christ is the head of the body, the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. Head of every saint in it. No earthly oversight the oversight of this church is in heaven, Jesus Christ. So chapter 5 and verse 23 of Ephesians said he's the Savior of the body, the church. That's the church in that sense. Aren't you thankful for that group of saved people and to be a part of it? And that Christ is your head and your ruler and your king, as we sang in the song a while ago. And then aren't we thankful for the church in a local sense? Paul was in prison when he wrote to the Philippians, and he encouraged them to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Here, God's team, in fact, our word, teamwork, comes from that word, striving together. Athletes striving together. Team. And he says, you strive together for what? For the faith of the gospel, for Jesus Christ. To educate and strengthen people in the service of the master. That's what it's for. Not for a piece of paper. Not for money. Not for personal glory. But for the glory of the Savior who died for us. That these people might serve God in an ungodly world. I feel sorry for so many churches. Because when we travel, we may go on a trip and attend a church and go to their Bible class. And sometimes the teaching is so sorry, so poor. You think, how are these people ever going to be educated in God's will with this kind of teaching? Don't let it happen here. And if you have the exalted responsibility to teach, give yourself to it. If you have the privilege to be a part of a class to learn, take advantage of it. And then there's the church in the assembled sense. 1 Corinthians 14:26. We come together for the purpose of edification. That's what you are right now. I'm thankful you are here. Now, I'm thankful for the church of Humble on Herman Street. That's in existence right now. You're a part of it, this assembly. And it's edifying for me to sing songs together with you, to pray together with you, led by Rocky as we were a while ago, to observe the memorial to our faith in our risen Lord and Savior who died for us as we did a moment ago, and to contribute together for the work of Christ here and throughout the world. What a privilege to be together. And to form those bonds of faith that God intended as we work together on the same team. And so, get your songbooks. To Christ be loyal and be true. That's what we're singing, isn't it, Josh? You know, in a previous lesson, I believe it was last Sunday, we read from Colossians 1 that Paul's prayer was that the brethren be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we simply ask, what's your plan? All right? What's your plan to help you be true to Christ as we're going to sing? What's your plan? Well, I know part of God's plan, and that's the local church. And to be a part of what goes on in this building as much as you can. And so in a moment, as Josh walks up to the front to lead us in this song, lift your heart, not just your voice. Lift your heart and praise in the dedication and the commitment to be true to Christ. Shall we stand and sing?